Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, welcome to the Tech Point Africa podcast. My name is Emmanuel.
I'm Muluani Femi.
And I'm Chimgozrim.
So yeah, what's popping? What's going on?
Yes, for one, I'm excited about the blockchain summit that is coming on this Saturday.
I like the emphasis on excited.
Excited.
Oh, yeah.
We are looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's coming up this Saturday and it promises to be mind-blowing. And we can't wait to have that discussion. Right, what's going on in the world of Web3, Bitcoin, NFTs, and all of that. So, yeah, but so this podcast is not about crypto at all. So, we chase Bolu away. It's not coming on today. But shout out to Onome, our producer. She's here with us, smiling sheepishly, but we move. Yeah, so we're talking about taxes today. And it's a conversation most of us don't like to talk about, or we don't like to have it, but we just have to have it, right? I mean, most people don't like paying tax, and we always associate taxes with agberos or something. Let's not go there. But the reality for Nigeria is we do not collect enough tax relative to other countries. So our tax GDP ratio is quite low compared to other countries. It's around 6.1% the last time I checked, compared to US and UK that are over 30%. So it seems the Federal Inland Revenue Service, which is Nigeria's tax regulator, is up to something new. And I'm hearing a lot of tech, I'm hearing a lot of machine learning.
Yes, yes.
So what's going on?
Before I tell you what is going on, okay. I think I know why people don't like hearing about tax, right? It's more of what is coming out from my hand. It is less of how is my country going to cope. Is forget Nigeria, remove Nigeria from there, just in my country. How is my country going to cope, because it is your tax that is supposed to make it grow instead of it going out to borrow more money, right? And Emmanuel mentioned tax to GDP ratio. So GDP is like a measurement of literally how rich is your country. Now, when you now compare it to the amount of tax coming in, it is very, very low in Nigeria. So, back to what Emmanuel said, I heard too. So, the FIRS, Federal Inland Revenue Service, right, they are the one in charge of tax, in Nigeria. So, they recently introduced an initiative called the Data for Tax Initiative. It's supposed to help them discover and control the number of people that are evading tax in Nigeria, right? So this time last year, right, around May 2021, the FIRS instituted or created a department called Intelligence, Strategic and Data Mining and Analysis Department, right? I'll repeat that again. Intelligence, Strategic Data Mining and Analysis Department. So it was established in 2021, and the plan was to gather data using AI techniques, big data techniques, trend analysis and stuff like that, right, to be able to know the number of people that are evading tax, right? And it's nice, because globally, right, data mining is one of the techniques that is adopted to check fraud, right, to find out fraud and to also check it to reduce it. So it is not bad to when you think about it, but it seems it's coming late, right? We are not just knowing about technology in this age, right? But it's coming at a time when it's supposed to come. Well, it is here now. And since it has been, the department has been established last year, what they've been doing is to be gathering data, right, from MDAs like ministries, departments, and other agencies. The ones we know about are CSC and NIMC, who are in charge of National Identification Number. So, in an interview with Tax Matters, a program or a body that like educate people about tax, yeah, right? The chairman of FIRS and the Joint Tax Board, Muhammad Nami, he mentioned the stage they are at this point, like in the past 1 year when they started this initiative.
And how do we want to do that? We resolve to collaborate with the Nigeria Identity Management Commission so that we use their database and through a concept we call data for tax initiative. So that if Amaka buys a car, she has a unique identifier called name. She must be asked to disclose her name. If she's opened a bank account, the same number. When she's going for international passport, the same number. When she's paying her school fees or the school fees of her brothers and sisters, she uses the same number. When she's acquiring land, she uses the same number. When you are investing in stocks, you use the same number. So when you have that and you have just a unique identity, which we call digital identity, when I tap your name and your name number, every talk about you comes up. When you buy land, you see. When you sell it, you see. So the issue of net worth individuals that are trying to dodge taxes.
What stood out for me from what he said was NIN, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. NIN is supposed, like NIMC, the body in charge of issuing national education number in Nigeria. I'm sure you're not hearing it for the first time, because some few weeks back, that's caused a number of issues with people that didn't have NIN or have not linked it to their number. So it's not the first time you're hearing it. So NIMC is supposed to have like a database of all Nigerians, if all things being equal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that they can be able to get data from NIMC and get companies' data from Corporate Affairs Commission, CAC, right? It will be able to do this thing that you want to do, but all things are not equal, right?
Yeah, that's a very
all things
point.
Are not equal.
Yeah,
right?
So to be fair, the NIN registration has been massive in the past 1 or 2 years, right? And from report I just saw, 80.7 million Nigerians have gotten their NIN as of May 2022. So there are a lot of people in the database now, and if different government agencies start requiring the N9 to do anything, you want to buy land, you need your N9, you want to get your driver's license, you want to buy a car, so the government now actually knows that you bought Toyota Corolla 2 years ago, but now you've upgraded to Range Rover, so let's upgrade these tax.
levels have changed.
So I think in an ideal world, if you have money and you're spending more money and you have more investment, you should be paying more tax than if you are earning less and you have less investment. So what happens with these kind of situations is people are trying, rich people, for instance, some of them try to evade tax by maybe making the owner of the company very, very anonymous. You see a company, you don't know who is behind it and all of that. So mostly to avoid tax. So
yeah, so there's this thing that Mohammed mentioned going ahead in this conversation, and he said this will help them not to focus more on the people that are already paying tax, because come to think of it, it's people that you have their data for paying tax that you will go after if they miss it. But people that have always been evading it, right, that might even be people that have more money, you can't go after them because you don't have their data. But now when you have their data, you'll be able to uniformly follow everyone that's supposed to pay their tax, and they will pay it. But something worries me, right? Something worries me. Nigerian MDAs, ministries, agencies, they are not very good with keeping data, right, from things that have happened in the past, right? The very recent case that comes to my mind is people getting NIN, yes, through the NIMC app, right? People are getting several people's data, NIN and national identification number from open source, right? Not like it's supposed to be unique to you and it's all over the place. Somebody was even telling me that, I don't want to mention the person's name, that there's somebody that you just give them your details and the person will help you to retrieve your NIN. What if you just have my name and you just take it to that kind of person and the person retrieves? So we are not good with keeping data. But the person that is in charge of that department, that intelligence, strategic data mining and analysis department in FIRS, Kola Okunola, he has been in charge of that, of FIRS's ICT department for like 10 years, right? And he said, yeah, his responses are vague, right? Because he said, yeah, ISO compliant, yeah, ND, is it NDPR?
Yeah,
NDPR. Compliant. But you can't say particular thing that they are doing because CSC will tell you they're ISO compliant, right?
Okay.
Many departments and ministries are telling you they're NDP compliant, but still, we are seeing citizens' data in open source. So I'm worried about our data.
You keep saying open source, that's making me laugh.
Am I wrong? Please correct me. I don't know how, I don't know the terms we use for this, but yes.
Yeah, that's
a penetration.
That's pretty much what probably is, right? So the data privacy aspect is an issue, and an even bigger issue for me is, okay, even if after they've gathered these tax, there's this, sorry to use this a secular audience, but there's a biblical term that says he who is faithful with little will also be faithful with
exactly.
much.
So
the small tax they've been collecting, what have they been doing with it?
The trust issue.
So yes. Yeah, the issue
Nigerians
of trust.
Have distrust in the government. So even if you find me that I'm not paying tax, I will still find a way to evade. I'm not saying that. Sorry.
Nifemi, you are going to evade tax.
I can't evade.
Nifemi.
Hey. No. See, my company is tax compliant, so there's no way I can evade tax.
Okay, so if you buy stock now, okay.
They remove it normally now.
The people want to hear your answer.
No, they remove it like automatically.
All right.
As long as I don't have to go and pay with my hand.
Okay, no problem. But anyway, that's the watchword, right? And it doesn't just apply to the government, right? You might be earning very, very little amount of money now and you are faithful with your tax. Or you are not faithful with your tax. Meaning, if you are earning millions of naira in a month, you are likely not going to be faithful with your tax. So I don't know. It's a watchword. It's a call to action for everyone. Pay your tax. It's actually your civic duty. If the government is not delivering on their own civic duty,
you
should be delivering on yours. Then you hold the government accountable. But if the two of you are wrong, you guys are talking to a pastor. What now?
Preach, Emmanuel. Preach.
Let's move on to. Let's leave the government alone. Let's move on to companies and huge moves going on in the ecosystem. And today, we are discussing two very, very big moves, Jumia and AutoCheck. So Jumia has just announced their quarterly results, and the results usually have the usual, but there's an interesting tidbit there. Jingle, just help us out.
Okay, so before we get to the interesting part, let's start with Jumia. So usually if you hear Jumia these days, it's like, okay, what are you guys telling us again?
It's always in the news, right?
Not really always in the news, but I mean, they were once the darling of the Nigerian tech ecosystem, but now it's like, they're like that guy that never fulfilled his potential, but like,
ouch.
India...
Ouch.
Yeah,
Jumia is still there. What?
Okay. I mean, yes, you could be alive, but you're not living up to what people expected you to be. And sometimes it's not even your fault. It's just forces beyond your control.
If you're Jumia exec and you're listening to this, his name is Chingo Jim. No, come on, he can look for you.
Yeah, so it released the report yesterday, and it's just Q1. Yeah, Q1 2022, and usually they start out with the wins.
Yep.
So this time around, everything from orders to GMV and revenue all grew. So they had 9.3 million orders, and this is like up from 6.6 million in Q1 2021. Gross merchandise value also grew from $198.9 to $252.7 million. So revenue also went from $33 million in Q1 2022 to $47.6 million in $33 million in Q1 2021.
Bele, bele.
To $47.6 million in Q1 2022.
Okay.
So usually there are some categories that like do better than the others.
Mm-hmm.
And this time around, FMCGs, electronics, phones, food delivery, they all grew. So they report that FMCGs grew very well, mm-hmm. but there's something that they're testing out that like helped that growth. So Jumia now wants to deliver groceries to you, and they're trying to do that in less than an hour or 1 hour tops. So it's a category that kind of, let's say, helped, but yeah, that it grew. They had significant orders from that particular category. So the other was
any special catch.
Any special catch? Well, it's I think it's still in its early days, so I think it's probably too early to judge.
Mm.
But something else was food delivery and electronic sales. Those ones also grew. And then the logistics platform also grew. So this time around, it shipped 3.3 million packages for over 900 users in Q1 2022.
Okay. I think we can all agree on something. Every year, everything about Jumia at least grows.
Grows, yeah.
But something else grows alongside it.
Yes.
What's that?
Their loss is also growing.
Okay, good. So as everything else is growing, their losses are also... Okay, please, how much loss did they make this time?
So their losses grew this time, but I think what's more interesting is the fact that, you know, the last time, I think it was last year, you wrote an article, Emmanuel, on their report, and they mentioned trying to cut down on advertising and marketing, mm-hmm. like cutting down how much they spend.
Yeah.
So, and the reason is because it's one of the major... expenses that they make.
Yes.
So they're also trying to do that this time around. They are pushing very, very hard to reduce it. So they already did that. I think they want to keep it below $70 million,
okay.
which was what they did last year. But there's something that was very interesting for me, which is Jumia Pay.
Okay.
So I've used Jumia a few times, and anytime I use it, I don't use Jumia Pay for my payment option. But I've always wondered why Jumia Pay was not like, well, I say blowing up compared to their other services. So apparently they got a payment service solutions provider license.
PSSP.
Yeah, from the CBN.
Okay.
Just last month.
A similar license to what Paystack and Flutter we have. Had.
So okay. Based on that, they're now going to be processing third-party payments for businesses. So maybe you have this e-commerce store, or you just have to take payments. They can now facilitate that payment. So what's interesting to for me is that's like in the long term is one revenue stream that they're unlocking. So we know how these guys make their money: transaction charges. They make money from transaction charges. So Jumia is now going to be competing with Paystack, Flutterwave in that particular category, but there's still something else that was very okay. But before I go to what was very interesting to me from Jumia Pay is that 34% of orders placed on the Jumia platform in Q1 2022 were completed using Jumia Pay. So that means adoption is growing.
Okay.
But there's something else they're trying, which is kind of funny. They're trialing a service, an e-health or telehealth service. So basically, they want you to be able to get access to to doctors for a subscription fee of $1.
Okay.
So already they are testing it out with through a partnership with CGAP, that is a consultative group to assist the poor.
And okay.
That's like what I'm trying to figure out. So you're doing e-commerce, but you also want to do telehealth. Mm. And you all know how that industry itself is. So why is Jumia getting into the telehealth industry?
Okay, good so question. It's only the healthy can buy food on Jumia.
Yeah.
Only the healthy can purchase groceries on Jumia. So maybe that's why they want to do. But from a business perspective, I'm sorry, I can't see it. Nifemi, do you have any thoughts?
Before I say my thoughts, are their shares increasing? I bought stock.
Full disclosure, by the way, I also bought.
Yeah, their shares are up following the report, Shabbat. Let's hear your thoughts on health tech.
Okay, so there is every chance that when you've been struggling to at least balance your expenses, your gains and your losses, after a long time, you want to try other verticals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think them choosing else, I don't want to say I know the rationale behind it, but what I would think is that it looks like a low-hanging fruit. Because as it's where they're already into fintech, right?
Mm-hmm.
E-commerce, payments and all. Premier Pay and all. So it's the closest to a new vertical that they can add. That's what I think.
Why is that the closest to a new vertical that they can add? It's an e-commerce company, right?
There's a lot of other things
they could be doing, right? They could introduce storefronts for small businesses like Paystack and Flutterwave did.
I mean outside e-commerce.
Outside e-commerce.
Right, outside fintech, outside payment.
I don't know. Said he doesn't really see the business case there, but I'm thinking a bit differently. So, one of the reasons health tech startups have not grown so much is the lack of funding.
Okay.
But Jimmy has they have a sure war chest. Their marketing budget is even higher than what
some startups raise.
Yeah, not some. The entire sector itself, in some cases, raise.
Hmm.
So that's a lot of money if they want to go after people in that space.
So that's a lot of money they usually pump into making sure their e-commerce business stay alive.
Yeah.
So they have the luxury of moving into other verticals.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, JumiaPay is essentially a fintech company at this point.
Yeah.
Right. It's a similar playbook to what Alibaba did with Alipay.
Yeah.
Then eBay at some point acquired PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was in 2002. So their business cases are nice use cases for developing a fintech vertical, right? So what is the use case for health? Maybe you should investigate that give us your insights.
What of a super app?
Do you want to go there? Okay, address it in your article. We'll link it to the episode of the podcast. So, yes, a super app, right? Talking about startup expansion, massive expansion. And what comes into my mind is WeChat, like the global poster child for what a super app should be.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of expansion, we have another company that is quietly expanding, right?
It's in the news, man.
It's in the news, but the last time I read of an expansion for AutoCheck, it was less than a year. Okay. Time is moving fast.
Two expansions, actually. Abi three.
Okay. So the news. AutoCheck has acquired a Moroccan auto company called Kifal to drive North Africa's expansion. So to drive the North African expansion. What's the deal behind that? What is the story there?
So AutoCheck, Kifal also does the same thing AutoCheck does.
Okay.
They just connect you to, you want to sell your car, they connect you to, it's just like a marketplace for used cars. And AutoCheck has been doing the same thing for quite a while now. And this is like a play to get into the North African market. So in the last 1 year, like we're talking about, they've gotten into Kenya, they've gotten into Ghana, they've gotten into
Uganda.
So that's like East Africa covered, West Africa covered to an extent. Now, here's the next place, North Africa. So acquiring Kifal is like is a no-brainer because as part of the deal, the Kifal team still will be retained. The CEO will be retained. He'll be retained as like probably in the role of a country manager now. But yeah, he's going to be retained in the management team. So this is like a very easy way for them. They have people that already have knowledge of the local market. So they simply just go, tap their knowledge, tap their network, tap their customers and everything. And then it's probably similar to what Eden did with their Lynx acquisition. So
expansion now is easier with acquisition. It makes it easier.
it makes a lot of things,
especially in a different terrain.
Yes.
And as far as Africa is concerned, it seems you are, if you're a registered business in Nigeria and you're trying to expand to another country, it seems you're starting all over again, building a company afresh. So acquisition just makes things easier. So okay, agreed. The business case makes sense, but the entire
business model,
buy now pay later model for cars, I find it a bit okay, what English do I use now? An investigation I read on TechNext shows me that these automobile companies are making up to 150% interest on car sales.
Wow.
150% interest.
So
that is okay. Is that not too outrageous? 150%. That means you are paying double what more than double what the market price would normally be.
Who's setting the standard for outrageous here?
Okay. See, the thing is, you see, correct me if I'm making any false claim, right? Automobiles cost a lot, right?
Yeah.
Now, given the terrain that we are, given the kind of environment that we are, that people don't have too many loose cash to buy stuff that are costly, right? They tend to spread it over a long period of time, right? And that is why, while growing up, our parents that worked in civil service, Nigerian civil service, they would tell you not to use bank loan to buy car. Because the interests are also high like this. Because you have to spread it over a long period of time. And before you are able to pay it up finish, the interest has gotten to that point that it's talking about. Right? So, it's not like very, very strange. But when you are buying something that has a huge cash value, right? There's no how, and you don't have the money at hand, right? And you have to be, that thing is not even an asset as it were. It's a liability. Right, and you still have to work to maintain it and everything. It will become a burden on you, right? So I don't really subscribe to this buy now pay later for vehicles. Like it's dicey. Except you are paying like twice or paying three times. Don't, when you want to spread it over 12 months, there's no way to not get out of hand.
Well, I see it a bit differently.
Okay,
let's share your own.
So I like the idea of paying a percentage and then I get the car up front instead of like waiting until I have everything. So if you want to buy a car in Nigeria right now, for most people you need to pay up front. And if you check car dealers, not auto check and the likes, you'd see the cheapest cars you get are like ₦1 million, like good cars, not like they're about ₦1 million and above. So for the average Nigerian who is making like ₦80,000 a month, that's a lot of money to put up front. You probably have to save about a year or 2 years for you to even have that money. So it's similar to what we always talk about houses. You pay your rent a year in advance, but you stay in the house for 12 months. You make salary. Your salary is paid at the end of the month. So why don't we pay? And then for something like cars, why don't we just pay? And then since we keep on using it now, if you buy a good car, Nigerian roads aside, you can use that car for like 5 years. So why can't I pay over 2 years, for example?
It's the interest that will finish you.
Yes, the interest will finish you, but...
Why are you saying me? I said you are the one I'm subscribing to.
Let me give you my... I checked average interest rates for cars in the US. And people with bad credit scores have an annual interest rate of 18.59%.
Yeah.
Meaning, if you even pay your loan for 5 years, you are doing 92% interest rate for 5 years.
Yeah.
So why are we having 150%? Come on.
So don't worry, I won't answer that.
Even the predatory digital lending companies we are shouting about, the average interest rates fall between 20-50% per annum.
Yeah, I feel your pain because if you want to get a car on Car 45, Auto Check and the likes, I think the cheapest, last I checked, you'll be paying like 200k monthly.
Wow.
So how many Nigerians make that much? So exactly. It makes me wonder, how well are they doing?
Yeah. So is it casting a shadow over all the buzz we are seeing on online, the news we are seeing?
You're doing 200k every month. It means for me to comfortably pay it, I should be earning at least 300,000 naira. So that
wait. You use 2/3 of your salary to be financing.
Yeah, that's why I said.
You get it over with. It over with,
okay.
And the car
Precious
is yours.
Saying 500,000, and that's so that you can stay very, very comfortable. But I'm just saying, okay, let's say I want to buy a car so desperately. Maybe I need to show off, or that car is going to like upgrade my life like significantly. So I decide to buy that car
and inconvenience
myself for the next 2 years. Which, when I think about it, is a lot of inconvenience. But yeah, let's just say worst case scenario, I'm making 300,000. That's still a significant amount of money for me to spend. So first of all, how many Nigerians have been making 300,000 naira?
That's
for
much.
Them to inconvenience themselves. Mm-hmm. Because I saw it's crazy. Because why am I going to do that for 2 years?
So I think we should go with Emmanuel's conspiracy theory that these guys
are they making as much money as
exactly. So they are using this as a trade-off, the trade-off or something to cushion whatever risk they are putting.
Are you really?
Into.
Are they even doing that?
Are they doing credit risk assessment? Because the rate I just mentioned was for someone with very bad credit score, like someone who. The automobile company would typically not want to give a loan. People with good credit score are doing loan rate of 7.4% per annum.
And you know the funny thing, banks actually give a lower lower interest rate for cars than this. I think it's around 10%, 15%. I can't remember the specific fee, but they give a lower interest rate than this. So I'm just wondering why they are doing this. One, because it makes no business sense. If this was in a place where the people didn't have alternatives, they had money to spare, then they probably do that. But this is Nigeria. Well, people don't have money to spare. So
I remember the words of somebody that I listened to over the weekend.
Man.
I'm not saying it was somebody I listened to over the weekend. It was teaching a group of us about financial discipline, right? And he mentioned that don't get a car if you can't afford it. Like,
so
don't borrow money to get a car.
Being able to afford something is relative, right? I might not be able to afford an item by paying for it once, but if I pay for it in 12 months, I can afford it.
See, if you pay for it in 12 months with a very reasonable interest rate, you can afford it. But if that interest rate is going to break your back, you can't afford it.
Well, which is actually what we are trying to say. I mean, I just saw an example now. Right, if you walk into any car dealership in Nigeria, a typical Toyota car, let's say a Toyota Corolla, costs between 1.3.
Which of them? The Uber, Toyota.
Stop it.
So, typical Toyota Corolla for used cars goes between 1.3 million to 2 million. This is 2005, so it's quite old. On auto check, it costs between 2.8 million to 3.2 million.
How does that make any sense? That you're making almost 100% profit from that. So that's like, man, that's crazy.
Then you also have to think about maintenance. Yeah. I mean, fuel keeps going up every day.
It is a liability.
You have mechanics made from hell.
You have to buy fuel. The roads are bad.
Insurance,
you have to fix the absorber and everything.
You may go and park somewhere and nobody will carry your car. You have to pay like 25k.
Yeah.
Police can catch you.
Or go state revenue service.
Okay. So it's outrageous actually, but it's in the environment we found ourselves.
It's crazy that almost every day we are talking about startups. We are literally casting doubts on their business models.
Honestly, we need to actually. So I hear people say building is hard. Yes, it's hard, but please don't lie to us. Tell us that this buy now pay later is for rich people. Don't say it's for affordability.
Exactly.
Come on. Okay. Thank you for listening to this moment, and I'm ending it abruptly here because before I can just.
Yeah, you're vexing.
I'm about to get annoyed. I mean, I should be saving for car now, but see me, I'm trekking to my estate gate, but no problem.
I mean, you mean in an estate?
Where did I carry myself to an estate? Okay, so yeah, thank you for listening to us, and it's been an interesting conversation, and I'm sure you have thoughts about the whole FRS things. They're about to follow you everywhere you go, and please pay your tax.
Because they follow the money.
Yeah, they're going to follow the money. Please pay your tax. I cannot beg for you. Then we have Jumia and their interesting moves, always iterating. And I find myself rooting for them. It's not because I have stocks on Jumia. I'm telling you that.
And in Jumia.
Finally, we have AutoCheck's expansion. The expansion is massive, it's nice, but please, come on. 150% interest rate. AutoCheck, if you're listening to this.
Privilege.
Better car too. Cars 45, please, if you're listening. Help our lives. So, yeah, you can tweet at us with the hashtag TechPointAfricaPodcast, or you can email us with email podcast at TechPointAfrica. And if you're listening to us for the first time, or you've been listening to us and you've not been sharing, where else can you find this podcast?
Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addict.
Okay.
Everywhere else you find your podcast.
You don't have to be giving us eyes while you're telling us. We're not waiting for you to fumble. All right, guys. See you next week. And I'm sure we're going to have a lot of interesting conversations. Bye-bye.
And don't forget, if you have registered for the TechPoint Africa Blockchain Summit, make sure you attend. And if you've not registered, you can register free online.
Yeah.
We have a very few late bed tickets available. If it's not sold out yet, register with that too. We just hope to see you around. Come and learn. This buzz is not for nothing. Come and learn.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Okay, see you on Saturday.
Bye.
Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.